My name is Miguel Ojeda, and I am the lead pastor here at Faith City Church. I am so blessed that you tuned in with us for this week's message. We are excited to grow with you and hope this blesses you. Each and every one of us has a story. But John has a much more powerful story than us in the book of John. He encounters Jesus. And Jesus, when he comes on the scene, completely shifts around everything. I mean, what you thought you knew about religion, all of a sudden Jesus says, no, that's not really what serving God is all about. All of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene and he's like, what you thought was really what God honored. Now, I'm here to tell you that that's not really what God honors. But what I love most is in the first chapter of John, as John is telling his story, and some that's controversial. Some believe that maybe other people had wrote the book of John. But for the sake of where we're going to put the idea in the forefront that John wrote the story. He's telling his story. We know that John is intricately involved in the book. And John, one of the first things he does is so beautiful because he starts off with talking about who God is. And as he's talking about who God is in the first verses of John, it's kind of hard to understand because he says the Word is God, the Word was God, and he was in the beginning. And, you know, he says all these things that kind of like flip around on each other. You're almost like, how do I grasp that? How do I understand that? And one of the first things we see in those first few verses of John is that if you really get the heartbeat of what he's trying to do here, he's not trying to give you a full understanding of who Jesus is, but rather leave you at a place where you understand that Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. But now let me show you just how much I mean it. You can't confine him to just one name. You can't confine him to just one word. You can't define him by just one word. He cannot be contained or refined. He can't be made. He can't be put into a box. But yet and still, he also came down to die on the cross for our sins. So John starts off by painting this picture that, hey, I want you to understand that Jesus loves us so much. He's the Son of God. He came to die on the cross for our sin. He came in man, in the form of a man. But I also want you to understand that he's God. Okay. You can't confine him to just one name, just one title, just a thought, an ideology that man has made. Because why? He's God. If you could put God into some idea that man has made, well, God ceases to be God anymore. So John is bringing a very big theological picture here to the forefront. You can't contain him. I just want you to know, he's the Word. He was in the beginning, and he is here now. He says he came amongst his people, but he's from heaven. He came amongst his people, but he's from heaven. Who is his people? He's actually speaking in a sense to get him to understand that he was born just like man, but he was also from God. You need to understand this connection as we get into the Gospel of John in this series. Why? Because if you only see Jesus as a man, he's not good enough to pay the price for your sins. But when you understand that he's fully God and man, you understand that, okay, when he died on the cross for our sins, that was good enough, not just for one time, but for all eternity to all those who believe. Because why? Humans die. So it had to be the living Savior, a part of him. It can't just be another human. Because if I take a bullet for you, that bullet won't last for every single other family member. That's only for one person. But the power of the text here is he's saying, no, I need you to know that. First chapter in the first few verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Whoa, paradigm. I brought it to a way where you could understand that he is the Word, but I'm also bringing you to a place to understand you can't fathom his goodness. He's out of the stretch of what man can fully fathom or understand. Okay? Power. That's so powerful. So I wanted to tell you that because the first few verses, when you go home and you're reading it, you might say to yourself, well, I can't fully, that's what he wants you to understand, is you can't put God in a box. But now in the first chapter, what I love here is this is our power verse for today. And I'm not going to read the whole thing yet. I just want to give you a little snippet of the main point. They come to John and they say to him, John, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you baptizing people? You're not Jesus. You're not anybody. Why are you baptizing people? And the Bible says that John is, he says, I came to cry. I came to make a loud noise. I came to, in other words, I came to make some noise. I came to shift some things. I came to abrupt some people's situation. And I came to declare this, make straight the way of the Lord. What does God need little old John for, to come and tell somebody to make straight the way of the Lord? This is the Lord. This is a powerful piece that we're going to focus on today, though. It's really powerful. What John is actually doing here is he is displaying that Jesus is the way maker. He's actually bringing this out in the text, but also he brings out another side of it. And he's bringing to the forefront that God partners with man as way makers. And I'm going to get into that today. But as he's talking to him here, all of a sudden looks at him, he says that. And so today, the title of the message is Way Maker. I need you to know that when you accept your calling, your relationship with God, you're not just called to just accept things as they are. You're not just called just to sit in atmospheres and allow standards to be the way that they are around you and just fall in line with what the world says. No, you're called to be a way maker. I need to speak a word to some of you teens. You're not called to just fit in school. You're called to be a way maker so that other kids who are coming to school from broken homes, you all of a sudden lead them on how a kid should be living their life with standards, with power, with authority, with knowing what they value. The same thing for all of us. We are called to be waymakers. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in the text. Every time when we look at the Bible, we actually see this partnership where God invites man to be waymaker with him. Isn't that powerful? Everywhere you look in the Bible, God invites man into a partnership where he says, I want you to be a waymaker with me. I want you to be a way maker with me. I want you to change some things, some mindsets in society. I want you to change some things in your family. I want you to break some things. I want you to mold some things. And that's the thing that we're going to focus on today. I want you all to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, if you're following along with me today. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version in 1:18. And it says this. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Everybody say, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, which is an Old Testament leader who followed God. 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. And I'm not going to read this piece, but in the following verses after, you see that all of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene, and then he says this, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." So John is on here, and the first thing that these leaders respond to him is, "Hey, we need to know who you are. We need to know who you are. Who are you that you come baptizing people, that you come telling people to repent, turn from their sin, and change from their ways?" Now, this picture here of John is that John is a man that stands out. He's a man that doesn't fit in to the mold. It's not because he doesn't want to. No one should ever call themselves a Christian and just be weird just for the heck of it. This isn't the goal here, but John was in a society where they had thought to themselves that real leadership was those who stood out with titles. Real leadership were those who had the highest rankings, were those who had all the money, were those who had all the things, the persona of leaders. John, though, he is projecting a whole different image of what leadership is. See, if you were to ask John, "Hey, John," and he was talking, and by the way, John the Baptist is not John the disciple that was with Jesus. And John the disciple that was with Jesus is most likely to have written this book. But as he's sitting here and he's talking, as they're doing things, he presented something different. John the Baptist did. And if you were to ask him, "Hey John, what is leadership to you?" Probably one of his main answers would have been that leadership to me is to stand on the word of God even when the world doesn't believe you. John probably would have said to be a follower of God, to say that I am someone who follows God, is to be a way maker for God. It's to be someone who builds a path so that the gospel can be poured into other people's lives. It's someone who builds a path so that my family can have the gospel message a part of their foundation in their life. Now, if you were to ask many of the other leaders of that time who were Pharisees, Sadducees, leaders in the synagogues, many of them would have said, you can't categorize them as all of them, but many of them probably would have said, "Well, we get the best seats. People come give us money. We always get to be heard first. And matter of fact, you know what else we do? We pray out in public so everybody can hear us. And guess what? We're the best prayers." But John brought something else to the forefront. This wasn't the picture that he was painting here. So he stood out. This is an important piece for us. Why? Because there is a sort of passing on that comes on here, that comes on the scene here as we look at this text. Jesus is all of a sudden taking the commission that basically John is operating on, John the Baptist, of making way for Jesus to making a spiritual way to God. And what you see throughout the entire text, when you look throughout the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is that there was no difference between someone who followed God and someone who was called a waymaker. When you look in the Old Testament, you see Moses. Moses made a way for God's people to come out of slavery. When you look in the Old Testament, you see all these other leaders, and they were way makers, the prophets of the Old Testament, they were way makers. And my implore to you today as we're looking at this is I'm going to give you a couple points is that you're called to be a way maker in your family. You're called to be a way maker for the gospel to come into your family's life, into your world, into your city, into your neighborhood, into your community. And let me tell you something, it may not always look like what everyone else is doing, but the question is not what is everyone else doing. The question is, who are you serving? John set a precedent for us, that we are to uphold the word of God no matter how it looks, no matter what's going on. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he's like, hey, I know I don't look like I'm anybody. I know I don't have anything, but I wasn't trying to build my own kingdom. I was trying to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. And this is really powerful. But let me give you five main things that waymakers do as we look throughout the Bible. And I want to talk to you about the order of a waymaker. We are all called to be waymakers in our life. And to accept that call and accept that relationship with Jesus, we are called to uphold it. I'm not someone who just lets things be the way they are. I'm a waymaker. I'm a waymaker for other people's lives. I'm a waymaker in my church. I'm a waymaker in my family, in my marriage. I'm a waymaker. Everybody say, I am a waymaker. So a waymaker is the call to follow God. That's really what it is. It's a call to follow God. When you see Jesus come on the scene in the first chapter of John, and John is explaining who Jesus is, there is a whole new way that is created, but that it actually did not initiate just with Jesus. It actually initiated with people who follow God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They were making a way for Jesus to come into the earth and for people to accept him. These are the five things that I want to give you today that make up a way maker. I also was going to title this. I was going to add this on the end. The way maker, the story changer. You know, you can't change your story if you're not willing to be a way maker. Because a lot of times your story is connected to other things from your past or other things that your parents have done or leadership practices in your life that are not good for your future. Financial decisions that are not good for your future. And so you have to be literally willing to be a way maker. You have to say, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to build something new. I'm going to do something different. So the first thing I have is that a waymaker upholds heaven's standards. Upholds heaven's standards. And I'm deriving this right here. I'm going to be jumping into, I want to show you throughout the strand of the Bible how this flows throughout the whole Bible. But John here, in the midst of all the adversity he's facing, he decided no matter what, I'm going to uphold heaven's standards. I'm going to uphold the mission that God has placed me here to do. I'm going to do it. And let me bring it a little more home. That doesn't mean that while you're at your job, you have to preach to everybody. Okay? That doesn't mean that when you're at the family table, let me do the longest prayer. I'm a pastor and I'd be wanting to punch people like, don't you ever ask to pray again. It doesn't mean that you have to make a scene. It doesn't mean that. But let me tell you something. When you have the light of God shining out of you, and when you're having standards that honor the word of God, you will never have to tell the world who you are. People who do not know God recognize God's glory when it's in front of them. And I'm not saying you're God incarnate. What I'm saying is that when you spend time with the Father, you begin to look like him. And the world don't need people who fake. They need people who are invested. They need people who are really spending time with God. That way, you know, that way when you come around them, you don't need to put on a show. And so these things that I'm talking about is not for the world. They're for your calling. They're about your relationship with God. They're not about how can I project my Christianity better to the world around me, but how can I be connected to the God that loves me? Because if you're connected, you won't have a problem with showing it. Amen? Uphold heaven's standards. Just like John, we're called to uphold God's standards. Number two, we're called to submit to God. You want to be a waymaker, we got to submit to God. Abraham moves his family at God's word and has a willingness to sacrifice his best. When you look in the Old Testament, Abraham, he's a man of God in the Old Testament for some of you who don't know, and I just want to give you a synopsis of him. He receives a word from the Lord that he is supposed to uproot his family and that he is supposed to go to a land that he doesn't know. And he immediately picks up everything that he knows and he takes his family and goes on that journey. And God blesses him. I want to tell you something else too. He did go through adversity. It doesn't mean that every time that when we submit to God that we won't face adversity, but it does mean that that adversity will not hold us down. You cannot have a heavenly perspective of what you're going through when you're not having heaven drive you. If heaven is not the driving force behind you, you will never have a heavenly perspective when you're going through what you're going through. And so what happens here is we have to first make it our thing that we are going to submit to God. Because why? In order to be a way maker, first thing, I have to submit to God, the final way maker. The greatest example that I'm following. And if I want to be a way maker in my world around me, I have to be willing to submit to him. Now, what does this mean on another level? You can't submit to other things that have less value than God. If you submit to things that have less value to God, you will never ever do things that are closer to God. You limit yourself by submitting to worldly things. You extend yourself by submitting to God's things. God wants you to reach your ultimate capacity. He wants your story to reach its ultimate capacity. Where we limit ourselves is all of a sudden we become afraid by the things around us. God, I don't have enough money. God, I don't know if I'm going to have another job. God, I don't know if I go that way. If I listen to you, it might mess everything up. God, I would wait for the right relationship, but man, they're looking good and juicy right now. That was just too far. God, I would start serving at that church, but it don't look like I fit in. It don't look like I make a difference. God, like, you make a difference because you're connected to me. Not because of what you do, but because of who you serve. Your purpose is attached to me. I made you. I called you. And so what? The first thing is, in order to be a waymaker like John, a waymaker like Jesus. Now, Jesus is a spiritual waymaker. He makes the greatest way, but we're called to be waymakers in the physical realm around us. Is that we have to say, I'm only going to submit to God. Number three, waymakers uphold faith in the midst of political differences. When you read in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the king, he all of a sudden issues a decree and he says, well, guess what's going to happen? Everybody is going to have to worship me. Everybody is going to have to worship this golden image that I've made. Everybody's going to have to worship basically what I say worship. And Daniel receives the word, and Daniel is... basically, he prays every single day outside his window to God. And Daniel basically says to himself, no, I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. I don't care if what laws you change. I don't care what you say, but I'm standing on God. I'm going to keep praying to him. And the power of the story is that because of their standing on what they believe, standing on the word of God, they were able to change the political climate that they lived in. And that king issued a new decree. He said, no, all will worship the Lord. All will worship the Lord here. They will worship the living God. And I want to make this very clear, is that there is going to be a lot of things that shift us different ways. But if you're not set in what you believe, if you're not set in God, this is where I stand and this is where I'm going to stay. You're always going to be moved by everything. Number four, waymakers rebuild when nothing is left. Waymakers rebuild when nothing is left. And Nehemiah is a waymaker in the Old Testament. And Nehemiah is dealing with a very tough situation. He sees a political, he sees an economic world around him that has crumbled. Everything has fallen apart. And God gives him, places a burden in his heart, and basically he starts rounding up people and he starts seeking to rebuild this area. And as he rebuilds it, God adds everything to it. And I want to say to you that a waymaker has to be someone who's willing to rebuild something from nothing. The biggest problem that I see a lot of times is that, especially, I see so many talented, great leaders around me. But what happens is that we get infatuated with the resources of what we need to fulfill something that God has given us a burden to do, rather than looking to God to give us the resources as we go. And I just want to speak a word into someone here today that God has placed something in your heart. Don't be afraid to rebuild where things are in ashes. Don't be afraid to rebuild where there's financial ruin. Don't be afraid to rebuild where there is mental ruin, where there is relationships that have dried up, where there are things that you feel like are not coming to life anymore. That is what a waymaker does. In the midst of, I don't see it, it can't happen, they sum up the strength and the power and say, God, I know with you all things are possible. And you all see where I'm going and why I kind of backtrack to move forward. But a waymaker is a bondage breaker. And I spoke to you about this earlier, but Moses freed the Israelites. He was a waymaker. And what makes it very interesting about his story is that he was previously a murderer. I don't know if many of you know that here. I want to give you a side note of why he was a murderer, though. Moses was a murderer because he had suppressed a godly burden. Here's a power piece I want to give you about that. Unheeded burdens turn into destructive actions. If you're here and you have unheeded burdens that God's placing on your heart, that's usually those people who are called to be waymakers. I want to tell you to take hold of those burdens that God has been placing in your heart. I want to tell you to start doing those things you feel burdened to do and to step into what God is calling you to do. Take that next step with God. Waymakers understand that many will use and abuse you, but what's most important is whether they will get where they are going without you. Highways are very common, but the economy would be greatly slowed and hurt without them. Here's my synopsis. Jesus, when you look throughout the entire Bible, you see God partnering with people to be waymakers in their society, in their world, in their families. It's at the accepting of this call to be waymakers that God breaks bondages, that God brings healing, that God establishes a church, that God changes families, that God changes stories. Then we come to the New Testament, and John is actually passing now what has been given to all the former leaders of old, the commission to be waymakers. He's now passing it back to Jesus and saying, okay, now Jesus is here, the ultimate waymaker. We've been doing our part physically. Now Jesus is here. This changes the game because now Jesus is not just working through one person to be waymakers. Now he has allowed everyone to come into this reality of becoming a waymaker just by believing in Jesus, just by believing in the gospel. So now it's no longer you just have to hear from God and you have to be that one person chosen to lead into. Now it's when you believe in God, now you've received the commission through the Holy Spirit to be a way maker, to be a chain breaker, to be a healer, to be someone who does something new that people haven't seen yet, to open up businesses that people didn't even fathom yet, to do things in your family that maybe your parents couldn't do, to change things that held you back. All of a sudden, there is a passing on, there is a new way, and it's not when you believe, this is your calling, I am a way maker. And this is where I want to tell you today. God wants you to be a way maker in your world. Jesus comes on the scene and all of a sudden he's a man, changes everything. If I could title the first chapter, I would title it to this. I would title it this. Welcome to the Waymaker. Welcome to the Savior who makes a way out of no way. In John 1:45, we see Jesus's mission illuminated, as it says this. John is coming up to Nathanael, another believer, and he says this: "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." John is bringing to the forefront Jesus' mission and heavenly nature. So as we get ready to conclude the first chapter of John, he says this. Philip tells Nathanael, he says, "Hey, why don't you come and see?" Nathanael's like, "No, nothing good can come from there. Nothing good can come from there." And he says, "Yeah, well, you're missing out. Yeah, there's some good that came from here." And when he comes and he encounters Jesus, his life has changed forever. His story has changed forever. What is happening here in the first chapter? First few verses, this is God. This is the ultimate way maker. Next verses, he is the Lamb of God. I need you to know, he didn't just come just to live. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He's going to make a way. Last verses, what does he want them to know? He wants them to know his mission. He didn't come from the place of riches. He didn't come from a place of glory. He didn't come from a place of honor. He came from a place where nobody thought anything good can come from. And I want you to know something. If you're here and you feel like nothing that good can come from me, the devil is a liar. God has called you for amazing, ridiculously awesome things and a plan and purpose. You know, and I want to say something to you. Listen, and sometimes it's not ignited till you get around the right people. If you see someone around you here that can help strengthen that inside of you, grab them and say, "Hey, can we get coffee?" Come on, stand to your feet today, church. We're going to be going through the book of John, and this is my story series. And the whole goal of today was I wanted to intro you into the Waymaker. He's the Waymaker. He's called you to be a Waymaker. As we go through the book of John, we're going to unveil some beautiful things about Jesus and about the gospel. And let me tell you something. In John, John's main goal is not to give all of these foundational pieces of, okay, how do you live theologically a sound life? How do you actually live for God? He's trying to prove the point that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins. That's his main message he's trying to convey throughout the book of John. But if you're following along and you're like, "Hey, I want to go deeper," they say it's very smart to read John and 1 John simultaneously, because in 1 John, you all of a sudden get this other piece that's missing throughout the story of John as he's talking about all this stuff. but it is some great meat. And we're going to be going through this and talking about the story of Jesus and growing together. And we're going to have some fun while doing it. And we're going to just grow in our walk. Close your eyes, bow your heads. If anybody is here and you don't know Jesus, I don't want to waste another second. Just come to the altar. Say, you know what? I want to know who Jesus is. I want to grow in my walk with him. That's why I came today. I want to get to know him more. If you're here, you say, I just need prayer about something. Just come to the altar. A leader will come behind you and pray with you. Whatever is going on, we want to be there with you. We want to walk with you. We want to grow with you.